afternoon and welcome. You are listening to The Computer Guys. I'm Dave.
And I'm Carl.
And we are The Computer Guys here for the next half hour from Macatawa Technologies. That's right. You heard it right. Dave and Carl. No Kev today. We've got Carl filling in those shoes of Kevin today, playing the part. So we'll be taking your phone calls here. 395-1450. We'd love to hear from you if you have any problems with your computer. Give us a call. 395-1450. Or, as always, send us an email, computerguys@whtc.com. We'll be checking that throughout the show here. And, of course, Carl, there's always the podcast. If you can't get enough of us today and you want to listen back over the next week or actually at any time, really, because we keep pretty much all the old shows up there, go to your iTunes music store and just search for WHTC, and you'll see The Computer Guys pop right up there. I think we're one of only two options, so it's not that.
Sure, download the podcast and listen to us at any time.
Now, Carl, be honest, are you a Computer Guys podcast subscriber?
Yes, I am.
Hey, all right, good for you, Carl.
I don't always get to hear it live,
sure.
I can sometimes go back and listen to it.
Well, this week you'll hear a familiar voice on there, obviously.
Right.
Although, when you hear yourself later, it's a little odd, you know?
It is different, yes.
Yeah. Well, it looks like we've already got a phone call coming in here, so let's go ahead and take that. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with The Computer Guys.
Hi, I have a computer question. I play a game on the computer from a casino, a free game, and I play four or five times, and all of a sudden my computer just goes dead. Everything shuts off, shuts down, and I have no idea why it does that.
Is this a laptop or desktop?
Laptop.
Okay. Now, when it does that, do you see any of the lights on the computer? Are they on? Are they blinking or doing anything?
Everything goes off.
Completely off.
I have to push the button and turn it all on again.
Okay. When you do that, then it starts up normally again?
Yes.
And is it only when you're at that website?
Yes.
Doesn't happen if you're checking email or anything else?
No. No, just that website.
All right. About how old do you think the computer is here?
Probably about 4 years old, maybe.
About 4 years old. Okay. Yeah. So it shuts off completely when you're just on that one. Now, do you ever go to any other websites? A lot of people go to like pogogames.com. Does it shut off during that?
I'm in my car and it's just pouring here, not Siegel.
Okay.
No, it's not. Just that it's the new website from Firekeepers Casino and Battle Free.
Okay.
If you play this game, you can earn points, and I've just been playing around with it. And it seems I play four or five times, and it just shuts down.
Hmm. Well, a couple of things to try. So you're probably on Windows XP then?
Yes.
Okay. First thing I would probably try is just type into a search into Google when you get back Adobe Flash or Adobe Flash Player.
Okay.
My guess is that website uses the Adobe Flash Player to show all the stuff on the screen there.
Oh, okay.
And maybe for whatever reason, it just needs an update. So I think the link is something like get.adobe.com/flashplayer or something to that effect.
Or you can go just to the main Adobe website, adobe.com, and there'll be an install Flash Player icon right there. Another in-browser application that might be being used is Java. And so you might want to go to www.java.com and
see
if you have the latest update for the Java application as well.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
And if those don't work, well, we'll be back next week.
All right. Stay dry in Holland.
Hey, thanks and good luck.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Yeah. And even if it was those, Carl, that'd still be unusual. That would shut the computer down.
It would be very
completely.
Unusual to completely shut the computer off. I have to say, I'm kind of stumped by that. Unless it's something that's maybe overheating the processor, and then
that'd be a good question. We should have asked too.
Else physical that's shutting it off.
Yeah, that's a good question. I wonder, does the computer get really hot when you're at that website? I've noticed even on my computer, it's funny. First of all, any site that has to load Java, like you go to WHTC.com, has to load Java.
Right.
This makes my computer struggle a little bit.
Right.
Just for a minute, you know, while it's opening it up, getting it all going. So that's another thing to try. So try updating Adobe Flash, Java, as well as see if it's hot. See if it's getting extra hot. If none of those things seem to be at all related, then we'll be back next week.
That's right.
Or, of course, you're always welcome to give us a call at our office. We are from Macatawa Technologies. Now, Carl, You're actually the guy at our office, because some of our listeners might be wondering, haven't heard you here before. In our office, you're the guy who goes out to customers' homes.
That's correct. I'm the on-site technician for home visits. So, excuse me, we make home visits and do work at people's homes and do anything from setting up brand new equipment to otherwise solving network and wireless networking problems and printing problems and anything that you might need at your home site.
People might also be interested to know, too, that you used to be the guy coming from Dell. Which is actually how we sort of got to know you.
That's right. For a brief amount of time, I did Dell warranty hardware installs, which just traveled around and put in new Dell hardware.
Yeah, so you got to know the Dell systems pretty well?
You bet, very, very much. Trained in them and then saw a lot of them.
Yeah. Well, give us a call if you're out there listening, 395-1450. You're listening to the Computer Guys here. We'd love to hear from you. We've also got some news stories for the week. There's always something new in the world of technology. One question here, Carl. I know you're not quite as much of a gamer as I am, but how much longer will physical game distribution survive? You could also apply that to physical movies. You know, people can watch movies on their computer.
Sure.
I even see so now some Blu-ray players or even TVs are coming out with internet connections. A little network port that you can actually plug in.
Correct.
And I'm
yes.
sure in another 12 months they'll come out with wireless.
Yes.
You know?
All those things are developing, you bet.
So this is actually a story from a little bit ago, but still applies. Look at the music industry. Look at 2006 when iTunes went from not being in the top six of the sellers. And the same year in December, it was top three. And the following year, number one. I think digital distribution is absolutely the biggest threat traditional retailers can ever have. So they're talking about here, you know, will people still actually, you know, you've got your Nintendo Wii or your Xbox. Are you actually going to go out and still buy those discs? You know, will you buy your DVDs? Netflix is doing some things where you can just watch the movie on your computer or, you know, in the future, they're hoping to, with certain things, you can just watch it right on your TV.
Makes it very handy when it's right over the internet.
Although I got to tell you, until they get the quality up from some of the online stuff.
Well, that's true. The bandwidth has to be there. Now, related to that, Dave, a bit, we talk about movies being delivered or as part of entertainment, but I've got an article here from the Yahoo Tech blog, and it says that in recent years, there's no stopping the gaming industry. The NPD group did a study. They polled 11,000 Americans, and they found out that 63% of Americans say they had played a video game in the last 6 months.
63%?
63%
okay.
Compared to only 53% saying that they had watched a movie in the last 6 months.
You know, I saw that same article, Carl. That's amazing.
And it's just showing the popularity of video gaming. And actually, it's more of an entertainment source than movies at this point, according to this study. And I found that interesting that maybe with the Wii or things like Rock Band, and we're getting more families involved. But that
I would imagine that outside of the, you know, up to 35, 40 age, that it would have been Wii. Most people probably would have played
sure.
the Wii of some
sure.
sort.
Sure. But it's interesting that maybe turning to a video game is more a source of entertainment and relaxation than watching a movie. And that would be a shift, I think.
Yeah, yes. I like both. I personally enjoy both of those, so
correct.
I fall into the both categories for both.
You've probably done both within the last 6 months, haven't you?
Within the last 24 hours, as a matter
okay,
of fact, Carl.
That's probably true, too. Watch,
no, that's not true. 48 hours I've done both. No video games yesterday. But, yeah, that is interesting. Fewer people are watching movies and more are playing video games. I saw that, and at first it was a little hard to believe, but, well, they did the study. What
that's
do I
right.
know? So, we've also got an email here, Carl.
Okay.
Hopefully
go ahead.
We can help out here. This is from Sharon. This is computerguys@whtc.com. My Dell laptop Latitude D600 starts slow. I was told I probably have a lot running in the background. Where do I look to see what is running in the background during startup? And how do I know what safely to get rid of and what has to be kept? That's a good question. You don't want to just get rid of everything. Corel Central is always there at startup. I do not use this. Is this taking a lot of startup ability? If so, how do I get rid of it? I use Microsoft Outlook for email and a database. Oh, I have 512 megs of RAM in the computer and just put in an additional 1 gig. I have Windows XP running Office Small Business 2007. That's from Sharon. Well, Carl, Latitude D600, sound familiar?
Very familiar. I believe I have that same laptop as my work laptop. Or maybe it's a D610.
No, it's a 600.
It's a 600, okay.
Come on, Carl. Right. You should know your computer better than that.
But, yes, one thing to tell about when the computer starts up, in the lower right-hand corner of the screen, that's your system tray, and this is just a rough rule of thumb, but how many icons are there is a good question to ask. We see anything from 3 or 4 to maybe 10 or 12. And if you're up to the 10 or 12, you might have things there that are unnecessary. Now, sometimes just by those icons in the lower right-hand corner, if you put the mouse over that and right-click on it, you might be able to see once if you can change some settings or you could turn it off. What I mean by changing settings, you might have an option there to check on whether or not you want this application to start when Windows starts. And so that would be one thing to check. Dave, you got some other ideas on that?
Well, like you said, they're just looking in that lower right-hand corner. That's by far the easiest way. And sometimes what you can do is, for instance, here on this computer here at the studio, they've got a Logitech Quick Cam application that's starting. Now, maybe they're spying on us here, Carl. I don't know. But
I don't see
a camera anywhere. You got to look under the desk. I don't know what they're up to here. But so for instance, there was probably a webcam installed on this computer at some point, but it's not here anymore. So every time the computer starts, it has to load that program. So what you could do is put your mouse, just move it down in the lower right-hand corner over that icon, your Logitech Quick Cam. Now, if you do the right mouse button, a little menu box is going to pop up. And on this one here, what I would do is go into the preferences or under the options. And once you go under there, there's always an option that says something to the effect of run this program when the computer starts or automatically start when the computer boots, something to that effect. And if you just uncheck that, basically it won't start that program for you. And so that's what you really want to look for. Now, what programs do you need down there when the computer starts? You're going to make sure you keep your antivirus on there. You don't
want
to.
Your antivirus will show there. Yes.
Yep. You don't want to get rid of that.
That's necessary.
Sometimes there's something for sound. Don't worry about that. You know, that's just your volume control.
There are probably icons for wireless and for wired connections, and those are normal, and those do not cause any problems. You can leave those.
Yep. Printers, a lot of times a printer will need something to start up. Yeah, you're probably going to want to leave that. So, but, you know, if there's other stuff, like you said, the Corel, you don't need that to start up every time. Unless you're, you know, always in Corel, then I'd say go ahead and leave it, so... But honestly, with a computer that's Latitude D600 with a gig and a half of RAM, you know, it's probably, if it's never had Windows reinstalled on it, you know, that's honestly doing that, reinstall, you know, back up all of your information, reinstall it. We do that all the time. Customers have a computer that's 3, 4, 5 years old. They've never had Windows reloaded. They get it back. It's like a whole new computer.
The operating system over time accumulates temp files, and even though we may go through and eliminate temp files and so on, a fresh install of Windows works better than any other adjustment. That's
kind of like us humans, Carl. As we get older, we just get a little slower and tired. The advantage the computer has is we can kind of reload it and start again, and it's like being reborn, I guess you'd say.
That's right.
So I'd say, and of course... like I said, the reloading Windows is kind of the last option, but it's really effective. Really helps out. You're really going to notice that most of your speed increase through that. So, Sharon, if that doesn't help, send us another email here, computerguys@whtc. Hopefully we can help you out. Carl, you know, there was something about a month ago, I wanted to mention our show. It was Earth Day. And we had some 7 tips here for a greener computer. Well, we missed it. We missed the boat on that, Carl. It was
a little behind on Earth Day.
A little behind on Earth Day, but every day can be Earth Day.
Exactly. Every day needs to be Earth Day.
That's right. And so I've got some tips here for our listeners. 7 ways to a greener computer. So as one of the most used and most often replaced electronic devices in your home, the way you choose, use, and perhaps reuse your computers has environmental implications. Here's seven things to do with a computer to limit that impact. Number one, sleep it. Rather than running your computer continuously throughout the day, set your computer at some point, 15 minutes or 30 minutes, to go into sleep.
Saves power.
Saves power. And it'll save the life of the computer. So the easiest way to do that is typically if you go to the control panel in your power options, then you'll find the power preferences in there. Second way, Carl, here, just turn it off. The sleep mode, of course, cuts the power consumption way down, but turning the computer off sets it down to almost nothing. If you don't, you know, one of the reasons people don't often want to turn their computer off is they might have certain things they like to have open, or, oh, it takes 10 minutes for my computer to boot up. I don't want to wait.
Right.
Well, there's another option called hibernate. You can also hibernate your computer. So, of course, if you really, really want a green computer, Carl, just disconnect it when it's off. Because even when it's off, it's still, you know, you still got that little light on there. It's just using a tiny, tiny amount of electricity. Also, number four, you can upgrade your computer. So before you decide to replace a computer that's gotten too slow, see about maybe adding some RAM. You know, Sharon in her last email there mentioned she added some more RAM to help speed it up. So also, you know, sometimes you're running out of space. So rather than just buy a whole new computer, put in a new hard drive.
Bring it in and have a new hard drive put in. Greater storage capacity.
Mm-hmm. The warehouse is getting full, or the garage is full. Just add on a new wing. So number five here, reuse or recycle it. When your computer is no longer needed, try to find someone else that can use it. If not, recycle it responsibly. Of course, recycling it, that's a good question, because if there's information on there, you want to make sure that's cleaned up. So don't throw it in the garbage can. Goodwill here in town will take it. If it's a good enough computer, you know, you can talk to a church, or a lot of nonprofit organizations are always looking for donations. So number six, share the computer. You can save the entire cost of a second computer and all the energy it would use by simply sharing the computer you already have with a family member. So, for instance, a lot of times we'll see customers with multiple computers in the house.
Right.
Well, that's great for us, but at the same time, maybe they could get by with just one or even just two computers. And, Carl, the last tip before we take a quick commercial break here is look for the Energy Star logo. Not every computer comes with it. Most of them do. But look for the Energy Star designation when buying a new computer. You can also check out the Energy Star website. I think it's energystar.gov, and they'll also have some tips on there.
Right, so. And lots of Energy Star logos are on monitors, especially because of the power consumption of the monitor. So you probably want to look for an Energy Star monitor.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of the LCDs use a ton of less electricity than the old CRTs. So. And if you're still using a CRT, maybe it's time to upgrade.
Upgrade, yes.
Speaking of which, I can't believe we still have a CRT here in the studio.
Right, so here.
Well, let's take a quick commercial break here. If you're listening, this is the Computer Guys here on 1450 WHTC.
Do the Japanese beetles devour your trees every summer? Have you tried spraying insecticide up into a tree to kill those pests? If you're like me, you end up with more of the insecticide everywhere but where it should be. That's why I go to DeBrine Seed Store in Zeeland and stock up on Bayer's tree and shrub insect control. You just mix the tree and shrub insect control with water and pour it at the base of your trees and shrubs. Just one application in the spring, lasts all summer long, and it's rainproof. Bayer's Advanced Tree and Shrub Insect Control provides 12 months systemic insect protection against damaging insects, including beetles, aphids, leaf miners, scale, and those very destructive emerald ash borers. Having beautiful trees and shrubs has never been easier. And with DeBrine's everyday low prices, it's easy on the pocketbook, too. So for those picture-perfect trees and shrubs all summer long, make DeBrine Seed Store and Bayer's Tree and Shrub Insect Control part of your yearly outdoor care program. That's DeBrine Seed Store, corner of Elm and Washington and Zealand. Open weekdays till 5:30, Saturday till 3.
Plant now. Spring is finally in full bloom, and Bill's Greenhouse at Felch and Beeline on Holland's north side is blooming with healthy flowers and plants for your yard and garden. Check Bill's Greenhouse for daily specials. Call 399-6878. Plant now for delicious vegetables this summer. Bill's Greenhouse has vegetable plants priced at $2 for $1.25. Squash, pumpkins, cucumbers, melons, tomatoes, and more. You'll feel great when you know you're eating fresh vegetables from your own garden. Let Bill's Greenhouse help. Vegetable plants are priced at $2 for $1.25. Choose from squash, pumpkins, cucumbers, melons, tomatoes, and so much more. And at Bill's Greenhouse, you'll always know you're getting quality plants. Call for daily specials, 399-6878. Bill's Greenhouse, located on the corner of Felch and Beeline on Holland's north side. Check out their daily specials, 399-6878.
Holland's hometown station.
Are you running on empty?
And welcome back. You're listening to the Computer Guys here on 1450 WHTC. Give us a call if you're having any questions or problems about your computer or really any, most any technology-related device. We'd be happy to help out. 395-1450, and we'll get you onto the air here. So I'm sure you'd help out some of the other listeners, too, because I know your question, when you call in, will probably help somebody else.
Exactly. Maybe there are a few unique problems, but often one person's problem is maybe a problem experienced by quite a few other people. So you can't help each other out.
So, Carl, what are you seeing these days for viruses? What are the most common ones out there these days? More of the rogue programs as far as pop-ups. That's usually what people are complaining about, isn't it?
That's the main thing, I'd say, that the rogue programs, something will pop up in your screen and say, oh, it's found 57 or 83 infections on your machine, and click here to have them removed. But of course, as you click, you might be prompted to put in your credit card and spend $40 or $50. And actually, that rogue program is itself maybe not perhaps a virus, but it's malware. It's something that's malicious, and you should avoid that kind of thing. Just start out with a good antivirus product like Norton or something else, and just be aware of those rogue programs.
And also, Carl, you'd talk to us a little bit about, since you're always out on site there visiting customers' homes, problems with AT&T DSL modems.
Don't have any hard and fast evidence on this, but there are DSL modems that are being installed about the last year or so that don't seem to have quite the life expectancy as former equipment did. So
those old modems would go for years, you know,
years and
three,
years.
4, 5, 6 years,
right?
Just keep on going.
And now the DSL modems, some of them at least, seem to have problems about a year and a half, something like that, and may need to be replaced. But that can be a call to us or a call to AT&T because they're the ones that supply the modem.
Yep. A lot of people are switching over to AT&T UVerse as well.
Yes.
Having good luck with that?
The customers that I know that have UVerse are very pleased. That's television and internet and telephone.
Well, we've even seen some people switching over as far as Comcast and Charter as well.
Correct.
And, you know, it's a big switch. You know, you can save some money if you're willing to do it, but it is a big switch. People have been used to things a certain way for a number of years, and I know the AT&T guys have been out knocking door to door and trying to get us to switch over, but
well, it's perhaps the switch of the provider, but it might even entail an email address switch if you're not using something like Gmail or Hotmail. If your email address is tied to your internet service provider like Comcast or Charter or something like that, then you might be, in fact, making an email switch, which is not too easy, actually. When I did it a couple of years ago and had to let everybody know my new email address and all the sites I had registered on, you know, for products and services and things online, and try to get all that up to date. It'd be quite a step to do that.
Yeah, in some ways, it's almost easier rather than if you get a Charter account rather than get the Charter email address they provide, honestly, it's almost easier just to go to yahoo.com or gmail.com, sign yourself up for one of those free addresses there.
Because that's independent of your internet service provider, and as long as you have internet connection, you can use those email addresses anywhere.
And as long as they're in business and providing that service?
I think Google's pretty solid for Gmail, so, well, you never know.
We used to say that about GM, didn't we? Used to say that about everything, and you never know these days. And speaking of emails, Carl, this is another one here. Computerguys@WHTC.com. Good afternoon, guys. I am very frustrated with my computer and forwarding emails. If I receive an email from someone that has pictures attached, when I try to forward it, none of the pictures show up on the other end of the email when I send it. How do I adjust my settings that when I email something with pictures, they don't go through as attachments? Well, unfortunately, we would need a little bit more information there. I see that that was from a charter.net email account.
I see.
Now, if you're going to the Charter webmail, could be because of that. There's not a lot of options we have for a lot of people who are kind of, I guess you'd say, frustrated with the Charter webmail interface. Not the greatest. If you installed or had a program like Windows Mail or Outlook Express set up on your computer, it would be much easier then, because then it will automatically forward that.
That's a setting, though, that has to be configured.
Right, yeah. You'll have to go through. Charter can walk you through it over the phone, and they've got stuff on their website for getting that going. We've set up that for a lot of people. But forwarding pictures, unless you actually insert the picture into the email, it'll usually come through as an attachment. You know, having that picture in, like when I open an email, if you want me to see the picture, that's a little bit different. And I don't know if you'd be able to really do that through the Charter webmail portion. I would doubt that they'd have that capability right now.
But if you are in Windows Mail or Outlook Express, there will be something under the Tools menu and Options, and that it's probably just a checkbox someplace that has to be checked, which would say Include Attachments when forwarding, or so then it would be automatic for you.
Yep. So if you are using Outlook Express or Windows Mail, check that out, Tools, and then Options, and look for it there. Also, Carl, we've got time for just one more story here today. There's a new sort of search engine out, Wolfram Alpha. Have you heard of it?
Yes, we've talked about it in the tech room,
but I've actually not used it.
I've not looked it up yet.
You don't have your laptop over there, do you?
I don't have a laptop here, no.
Okay. It's not a search engine like Google. It's more aimed for computational information. And it's, you know, for instance, rather than typing in weather and then into Google, that's probably going to direct you to weather.com. You would say, for instance, June 7, 1972, weather, Holland. And then it would tell you what the weather was on that day. That's more of what they're going for with that type of product. So it'll be interesting. In a sense, it almost could replace or be a competitor to Wikipedia rather than Google.
It's more of an information source and will compute things, actually. I mean, from the information they have gathered at the site. But, yes.
We'll see. Either way.
New development.
More products, new search engines, sort of search engines. Well, this music means it's the end of another show. Thanks again for tuning in. Don't forget, we're here each and every Wednesday afternoon. You've been listening to the Computer Guys here from McIntyre Technologies. We are located on the south side of Holland, 399 East 32nd Street. We're just west of US 31, where it intersects with 32nd Street. If you have any questions for us, give us a call at our office, 394-4940. Carl, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you, Dave. My pleasure.
And we'll be back next week.